This is Alison Gao from Shantou City, China, and you are listening to Everybody ESL.
Welcome to episode 46 of Everybody ESL, the podcast for everybody who wants to improve their English, practice their English, or just learn more English. My name is Ben, and today I have a good episode for you. I've got vocabulary, a little discussion about small talk, and about grammar, and the joke of the week, and more. The Everybody ESL podcast can be found in Apple Podcasts, on the Stitcher app, on the TuneIn Radio app, and wherever you find your podcasts. If you like the podcast, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for me, please send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. Okay. Let's get on with this episode. The theme for this episode's vocabulary is eating in restaurants. And the first word on our list is appetizer. A-P-P-E-T-I-Z-E-R. The appetizer is food that you order and eat before the main part of your meal comes. Often people will share an appetizer, and often an appetizer is a smaller amount of food. Now, there is a special word for the main part of your meal, and that word is entree, E-N-T-R-E-E. Now, this word comes from French, and sometimes people in the United States still spell it in the French way, and that's E-N-T-R-E-E, but there's a little accent mark over the second E in the word. Your entree is just the main part of your meal. Now, what about brunch? B-R-U-N-C-H. You might all know this word. I don't know. Maybe you've eaten brunch and didn't know the word. Well, brunch is a combination of the words breakfast and lunch. And brunch is a meal that is eaten sometime between the usual breakfast time and the usual lunchtime. Here's a word I bet many of you know, dessert. D-E-S-S-E-R-T. Dessert is what you eat after a meal. And dessert is usually sweet. It might be something like cake or pie or ice cream or something like that. Now, I mentioned appetizer and entree and dessert, and that brings us to the next word, which is course. C-O-U-R-S-E. This word has many different meanings, but when it comes to eating in restaurants, a course means a part of your meal. So in a very fancy restaurant, people might have appetizers. That might be the first course. Then everybody might have a salad. That's part of the salad course. After that, maybe everybody has a soup. And that's the soup course. And then you have your entree, etc., and your dessert. So a course is a part of a big meal. Now, what about this word, party? P-A-R-T-Y. Well, party has a special meaning when it comes to eating in restaurants and also some other activities. Party can mean a group of people all together, a group of people all working together or doing some activity together at the same time. So if you call a restaurant to make a reservation, they might ask you, how many in your party? In other words, how big is your group? How many people are you making a reservation for? Or when you walk into a restaurant, a fancier restaurant, and there's a host or hostess near the door, he or she might ask you, how many in your party? And you can say, oh, there's 3 of us, or there's 5 of us, or however many there are. And if you've made a reservation, you can even introduce yourself by saying, oh yes, the name is Jones, if that's your last name, the name is Jones Party of Five. In other words, I made the reservation under the name Jones, and there are five of us. There are five people in our party. So you can use this word party even when you're not having a party, even if you're just going out to eat a regular meal with people and there's no party going on, you can still refer to your group as a party. The next word is check, C-H-E-C-K. The check is the slip of paper that says how much money you have to pay for the food. And if you are in a hurry or if you're ready to leave and nobody has brought your check to you, you can always say to a waiter or waitress, "Excuse me, we're ready for the check." In other words, we're ready to leave, and so we would like you to bring the check to us so that we can pay. And the last word on our eating in restaurants vocabulary list is gratuity. G-R-A-T-U-I-T-Y. Gratuity is just a fancy word for a tip, the extra money you give your waitress or your waiter. If you live in the United States, you might have questions about the rules of tipping. How do you tip? When do you tip? Why do you tip? How much do you tip? It's all very complicated. Even people who have lived their entire lives in the United States have questions about this system. And I don't think anybody likes it. But if you want to hear more about these rules and this whole custom of tipping, let me know, and I can talk about it in a future episode. Well, that is our eating in restaurants vocabulary. Today's small talk situation, today's social situation, is one that I have found myself in hundreds or maybe thousands of times over the course of my life. Here's the situation. You're out walking someplace, maybe in the park, or maybe you're just walking around your neighborhood, and you see a dog you would like to meet. Well, you can't just go up to the dog and start petting it. The dog might not like that, and it might not be safe. So what do you do? What do you say to the dog's person? Well, it's not difficult. All you really need to do is say, "Excuse me." Now remember, that's how we start almost all conversations with strangers. You say, "Excuse me, can I pet your dog?" Or, "Excuse me, is it all right if I pet your dog?" Or, "Is it okay if I pet your dog?" Or you can ask, "Does your dog like meeting new people?" Or maybe, "Does your dog like making new friends?" And if the person says it's okay, then you can carefully and slowly and respectfully pet the dog and greet the dog and make friends with the dog. And after you've met the dog and petted the dog for a moment, if you'd like to extend the conversation, then you can ask some follow-up questions, some questions that follow your first questions. Your first question was something like, "Is it all right if I pet your dog?" And your follow-up questions can be things like, "What's your dog's name?" Or maybe, "Oh, what kind of dog is it?" And when the conversation is over, when it's time for you to leave, or when it's time for the dog to leave, make sure you give a compliment to the dog's person, something like, "Oh, well, your dog is very cute," or "What a beautiful dog," or "What a friendly dog." Say goodbye, say thank you, and go on your way. That's a nice kind of social situation to have. You get to practice your English a little bit, and you get to meet a dog. So the three parts of this conversation were, part one, something like, "Is it okay if I pet your dog?" Or, "Can I pet your dog?" Or, "Does your dog like to meet new people?" And then part two, some follow-up or additional questions. What's your dog's name? What kind of dog is it? And then part three, a compliment, and then goodbye and thank you. This episode's grammar lesson might seem like it's just a vocabulary lesson, That's because it's about two very similar words that are used in different ways, and the difference reminds me of the four-part series that I presented all about the word would. I think there's something related to the word would in this grammar or vocabulary lesson. Okay, well, the words I'm talking about are wish and hope. Now, the idea for this topic came from Victor from Taiwan, who wanted to know how to use wish and hope properly, and he wanted to know how they were similar and how they were different. And I think this question is one that many English learners have asked. It can be a little bit tricky. First of all, hope and wish are certainly very similar. They both have to do with a desire. They both have to do with wanting something to be a certain way. Here's how I think they're different. I think that wish suggests a situation that is not real. The way I look at it is that inside a wish is a feeling of contradiction, like a but, or a condition, in other words, a feeling of if. So I think inside wish, there's a feeling of but or if. Now let me give you some examples, and maybe this will be a little bit more clear. I can say, I hope my friend got home early enough to get a good night's sleep. I hope my friend got home early enough to get a good night's sleep. Now, how would I say that sentence if I wanted to use the word wish? Well, in that case, I would have to say something like, I wish my friend had gotten home early enough to get a good night's sleep. Do you hear the difference? I wish my friend had gotten home early enough to get a good night's sleep. But the feeling in this sentence is something like this. I wish my friend had gotten home early enough to get a good night's sleep, but I know that he didn't. Do you see what I'm saying? There's sort of that feeling of contradiction. So I wish my friend had gotten home early enough, but he didn't. For me, that's the main difference between hope and wish. Inside wish, there's a feeling of but or a feeling of if. Here's another example. I hope I get a good grade on my math test. I hope I get a good grade on my math test. Now, how would I say this with wish? Well, if I say it with wish, it might sound like this. I wish I got a good grade on my math test. I wish I got a good grade on my math test. Now, the feeling here is something like this. I wish I got a good grade on my math test, but I assume I did not. There again, we see that feeling of but is inside wish. So I hope I get a good grade, or I wish I got a good grade, but I assume I didn't get a good grade. One more example. I hope you will enjoy your visit to Seattle. I hope you will enjoy your visit to Seattle. Now, when I say it with wish, it sounds like this. I wish you would enjoy your stay in Seattle. I wish you would enjoy your stay in Seattle. And the feeling here is something like, I wish you would enjoy your stay in Seattle, but I think that you won't. So again, inside wish is this feeling of but, or sometimes if. So again, a hope is a feeling about something that has happened, or something that might happen, or something that will happen, but a wish is a feeling about something that didn't happen, or will not happen, or will probably not happen. In other words, there's that feeling of but, or if, inside a wish. I wish my friend had gotten home early enough to get a good night's sleep, but I know he didn't. I wish I got a good grade on my math test, but I assume I didn't. I hope you will enjoy your visit to Seattle, but I think that you won't. So that, for me, is the difference between hope and wish. Now, there is a little bit more we can say about it that does get into some more grammar stuff that can get a little bit tricky. But if anybody out there wants to hear more about hope and wish, just let me know, and I will talk about it in a future episode. So just send an email to me at everybodyesl@gmail.com and let me know that you want more information about the difference between hope and wish. And now it's time for the joke of the week, everybody's favorite part of the podcast. But probably it's not really anybody's favorite part of the podcast. The joke of the week is usually not a very funny joke. But I think these jokes can still be useful because they show us some interesting things about English. Okay, well, this week's joke is this. What kind of building is the tallest? What kind of building is the tallest? What do you think? Do you have any guesses about that? Well, remember, it's supposed to be a joke, so the answer is not going to be a tower or a skyscraper. It's going to be a sillier answer than that. Okay, what kind of building is the tallest? And the answer is a library, because it has so many stories. Do you get that? Do you understand why it's meant to be a joke? Why it's supposed to be maybe a little bit funny? Well, the explanation is pretty simple. The word story can mean two very different things. The first meaning is a series of events, the kind of thing you might find in a book, or in a movie, or in a TV show. The second meaning of the word story is a level of a building. So you might live in a three-story house. There might be three levels, three floors. You can live on the ground floor, or maybe you live one floor up, one story up on the second story. Or maybe you live in the top story. Or maybe a skyscraper has 100 stories. It has 100 levels. So what kind of building is the tallest? A library, because it has so many stories. Well, that's this week's joke. Why don't you try it on a friend of yours? Maybe you can get them to laugh. This is the part of the podcast where I usually give some kind of quiz. We have had listening quizzes, we've had vocabulary quizzes, we've had grammar quizzes, we have had comprehension quizzes. I got a suggestion from a listener, from Amy in Korea, who thought it would be a good idea to go back to the listening quiz, but maybe do it a little bit differently. Maybe the old listening quizzes were just too hard. Maybe they were not very practical. So this time, I'm going to do a different kind of listening quiz. What I'm going to do is read four sentences, and I'm going to read each one pretty quickly. I'm not going to slow down. I'm going to read it at a pretty natural, quick, conversational speed. But I'll read each one twice. And what I want you to do is just write down what you think I'm saying. And if you need to listen to the sentences more than once, or go back and listen to them several times, that's totally fine. When I'm all done reading each sentence twice, I will read each sentence again very slowly, so you can check to see whether you understood everything I had said. Does that make sense? Well, if it doesn't, I think it will once we get started. Okay, here is sentence number one for our listening quiz. Number one, her vacation was almost over and she was unhappy about going back home. Let's do number one again. Her vacation was almost over and she was unhappy about going back home. Now here's sentence number two. His favorite color is green, but he ended up buying the white sweater. His favorite color is green, but he ended up buying the white sweater. Number 3. The little dog raced around the playground, making everyone laugh. The little dog raced around the playground, making everyone laugh. And number 4. Suddenly, he realized he'd taken the wrong exit on the highway, and he was totally lost. Suddenly, he realized he'd taken the wrong exit on the highway, and he was totally lost. Okay, now that might have been a little too fast. I did it like that intentionally, and let's see how it goes. You can go back and listen to those sentences again and again if you'd like to, and see if you can get every word that I said. I'm going to read each of those sentences again much more slowly, and you can see if you wrote them down correctly. If you need a little bit more time, or if you want to listen to them again, just go back and do that, and come back here when you're ready for the answers. And here are the answers. Sentence number 1. Her vacation was almost over. And she was unhappy about going back home. Her vacation was almost over, and she was unhappy about going back home. Sentence number 2. His favorite color is green, but he ended up buying the white sweater. His favorite color is green, but he ended up buying the white sweater. Number 3. The little dog raced, R-A-C-E-D, raced around the playground, making everyone laugh. The little dog raced around the playground, making everyone laugh. And number 4. Suddenly, that's S-U-D-D-E-N-L-Y, suddenly he realized he'd taken, that's H-E apostrophe D, he'd taken, just like he had taken, suddenly he realized he'd taken the wrong exit on the highway, and he was totally lost. Suddenly, he realized he'd taken the wrong exit on the highway, and he was totally lost. Okay, well, how did you do? Was that a good way to have a listening quiz? Do you think that makes sense? Should I try it again? Or should I try something different in the future? Let me know what you think, because I need to hear your feedback. I need to hear your opinions about these quizzes, because I want them to be interesting, fun, and useful for you. So let me know what you think. And that's the end of episode 46 of Everybody ESL. Remember, if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for me about future episodes, or if you would like to record the introduction to a future episode, the same way you heard Allison's introduction at the beginning of this episode, send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. I'll be back soon with another episode, and until then, keep going, keep practicing, and keep learning. Goodbye. I'll see you soon.